It's your little friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy, kids, so I'll get out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
So before we just got started here,
doing you,
said,
you a courtesy.
You said to me,
I'm doing you a courtesy
to
prepare you.
Before we got started here, you
said to me,
to prepare
you, to say like, hey, Jack, just to like give us a little bit of a playground to play in.
Yeah.
You know, can you do me this favor? And no, of course he fucking can.
You said, hey, I've got something to start us off. And I was like, okay, great. Because that's a lot of weight on my shoulders normally.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, okay, well, I'm recording. Are you ready to go? Just hit start. And you're like, oh, well, you said, let me see if I can remember the quote. I don't want to start with something weird like, hey, it's me, Tanner, this time.
Yeah.
But now here we
that
are.
That would throw people off.
Why not try
you
that?
You brought us here, and all I wanted to do was a natural intro, Jack, so that okay. I could introduce my high premise for the episode based on this bonkers movie that you sent us.
You want me to ease you in? Because I've got a comedy bit about this movie that I can do that doesn't have a lot of legs, so
yeah,
I can ease you in. Okay.
And at some point, I'll just sort of commandeer and take over with my bit, okay? So you
okay.
go.
So here's the. So we watch a movie. It's The Strange Bedfellows. We watch a movie. It's called Return to Me.
Oh, Jack, I'm sorry I was late.
That's okay. Are you already doing it?
No. Sorry. Go ahead. I was just apologizing. We had to start a little late.
We did have to start a little bit late. We watched a movie called
Half an Hour Ago.
Return. You were a little bit late because you were buying Monster Truck tickets or something.
That's not why I was late. But
okay.
I didn't want to be disruptive. Go ahead.
Okay, great. We watched a movie called Return to Me. It's about David Duchovny. His wife dies, and then
2000
Driver gets his wife's heart in a transplant, and they fall in love.
Wow,
it's
sounds
bonkers.
Familiar.
And it does it.
Sounds okay. familiar to why I'm late. Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want to hear my comedy bit?
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah.
Are you gonna?
I don't want to interrupt. No. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Here it goes. Okay. It's about this movie. Here's my comedy.
If you're
bit.
Interested in why I'm late, I'll just you can ask me later.
Okay. Why don't you tell me why you're late?
No. You do your bit first, please.
Okay, tell me if this is funny.
Yeah.
It's a guy. It's a guy. And I've used this kind of guy, this guy before.
Sure.
I think his name is Ray.
Yeah.
And he goes like this. He goes, my wife, she got a great heart. Anybody who has a heart like my wife, they're okay in my book. And I mean that literally.
I was so confused by the intro that I don't remember how we ended up here. Why are you doing Ray's voice saying that quote? And is that quote a real quote from this movie?
It's a bit I'm doing. It's a guy who says his wife has a great heart, and then he's like, anybody who has a heart like my wife, they're okay in my book. And then he says, I mean that literally.
Yeah.
Because it's like the movie. He means anybody who literally has his wife's actual physical heart, he'll date them. That's his criterion.
Oh, it's the structure of the sentence is confusing because it literally comes right after in my book. So it's like, this guy's got a book?
Okay, yeah. It's not a great bit.
You understand my confusion?
It's not a great bit, but that's fine. It sounds like you were late today for a reason. Do you want to tell me?
Oh, so late.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. I got in a bad accident, car accident on the way into the studio.
Okay, that sucks. I'm really sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah.
It sounds like he's being nice about his wife. Like, oh, she's got a great heart. But what he means is this creepy thing, which is, I will marry anyone who has the heart of my wife.
Yeah. Yeah, but when you say, hey, listen, when you say, hey, this is a bit, be on the lookout for a bit, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I said, I'm going to
do
a comedy bit.
Ray, you do one of your characters, Ray.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, it's Ray.
Yeah.
And then you say this odd sentence, and it's structured in a way where it ends with you saying, with hard emphasis, in my
book thing. It's the
literally.
Book thing.
Yeah.
The book thing. They're okay in my book. They're okay as far as I'm concerned.
What book is this guy's talking about?
Okay. Yeah. I don't think
this guy talking about.
Okay. Fine. And so what? You seem okay.
Oh, I'm fine now. Yeah.
You got in a car accident on your way to the studio.
Yep. I did.
Okay.
I'm okay now. I had to go to emergency surgery.
Okay. Okay, that sucks.
Transplant.
I'm sorry to hear that. Are you sure you... Okay. Yeah, okay. This is... I just feel like we really... I feel stupid for doing, like, comedy. Or is everyone okay?
No, I know. I thought you would notice the scar on my chest, but...
No, I didn't.
I am fine, thank you.
Okay.
The person I was in a car accident with is, I don't know. I don't know what happened to them.
Okay.
The car accident was bad enough that I had to undergo immediate
emergency surgery and get a heart transplant.
But I hope they're okay.
Okay.
All I do know is that I received a heart, and unfortunately for the premise of the bit,
okay,
the entire structure of the bit,
yep,
the heart I have received is from,
okay,
former Washington Commanders wide receiver number 81 football legend Art Monk.
Art Monk! Wow. I felt like we were vibing better than normal.
Yeah. So I sort of, you know, as I can think kind of a bit that over, it's sort of an umbrella for the entire episode.
Yeah.
I'll sort of inhabit the soul of Art Monk.
Okay, that's awesome.
And like, I'll know a lot of things that Art Monk would know, obviously. And
this is great for me.
I'll know a lot about the Washington Commanders, which I'm sure I feel super great about the real Art Monk.
Let's talk about
Good Samaritans Club.
Yeah, I was thinking we could talk about, are you still friends with the other guys in the posse?
Oh, yeah. My bros.
Well, who's your fave out of those two guys?
Oh, you only think of the two of them.
Well, I think of you as being the third member of the posse.
Yeah. There's like sort of a whole satellite network. There's like a whole satellite of like other guys who sort of, it's like the Avengers, you know, like dudes swing in and out of the posse.
It's famously three men.
Yeah. And, you know, people swing in and out.
Two other men.
Some of my favorites have been like John Elway.
No, that's not
Joe
the
Namath.
No.
I was trying to think of the name of the coach from Friday Night Lights.
Okay, well, I thought this was going to be a better interaction with somebody who has the soul of Art Monk than it so far has been.
It's it's more of like an impression thing. It's not okay, like it's not like he has taken over my body and like I'm Art Monk now, you know?
Okay.
I also don't think he's passed.
Yeah. No, I guess not. It sounds like he may have quite recently if you have his heart.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it works. So yeah. I don't know.
Ricky Sanders and Gary Clark is the name of the other two wide receivers.
It's a little impressionistic. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, this is fun. We should say the movie.
I know you're a huge fan, right?
I'm a huge fan.
Legend,
yeah. It's one of my favorite
Washington Commanders.
Top two favorite Washington football team members, for sure.
Oh, you refuse to call them the Commanders. I like football team, and I thought football team was great, and I was so tempted to buy the merch, knowing that it would be extremely like limited quantity.
Yeah.
We can't get into it.
This
I'll get too fired up about it because, you know.
I'm already pretty fired up.
Beaten in here?
Yeah.
Heart of a
leg. Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, for you particularly. So I think you seem to be making a mistake that a lot of the folks that on the Rotten Tomatoes reviews made.
Yeah,
where there, I had a look through the Rotten Tomatoes reviews from the reviewers, not from from the people, not from the critics, and a lot of folks were mad at the movie because they were like, "This wouldn't happen. Like, if you got someone's heart, like you wouldn't like take on their personality." And my
that's what I was saying before. It's sort of like it's sort of impressionistic. You know,
that's not what happens in this movie. It's not implied.
That is not what happens in this movie.
What's happening
in
this movie?
And thinking that that's what happens in this movie makes it seem like you didn't actually watch the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I wanted to say. I wish you could respond to Rotten Tomatoes reviews because it's like that's what I wanted to say. Is it seems like you didn't watch this because Minnie Driver does not take on the personality of David Duchovny's wife after she receives her heart.
No,
as far as we know. It's just that he did fall in love with both women. In fact, there's nothing supernatural about this film at all, unless you imagine it.
Except for this weird, like, perhaps non-diegetic, like, heartbeat that happens at a couple of points.
Yeah.
When David Duchovny is sort of in, within echolocation range.
So you think he's a dolphin.
Driver's heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the dolphin theory of Return to Me. We should say we watched some films called Return to Me. I don't know how famous it is, so people maybe their first experience with it. It was my first experience with it. I think it's lore in my wife's family. I watched it with my wife and her cousin, both of whom seem to have seen it like 50 times. So it's lore in their family.
It feels like the kind of movie that you would maybe watch 50 times. It's pretty bonkers.
It's wild. At first, I thought I was just going to it would be a fun movie to make fun of. And I think that's still true. But at the end of it, I was like, this was quite charming.
Well, can we do dramatis personae real quick?
Yeah, let's say it's our hit segment. It's called dramatis personae, and it's where we say who's in the film. And let's start there. It's a good place to start.
Well, can I tell you who wrote and directed this film, as well as co-starred in it?
Bonnie Hunt. Friend from Jerry Maguire.
Sally.
Friend from other funny film. Other
Sally from
did.
Cars.
Okay, Sally from Cars.
It's Sally from Cars, only directing credit that wasn't a TV show.
Okay.
And it's pretty weird, but it's
Sally
like
from
good.
Cars, I was going to claim, has a type. And that type is the, like, beaten down acerbic friend or sister of the romantic lead.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what Sally from Cars is in Only You, a film we watched, and
well,
also Jerry Maguire.
And not just that.
Yeah. Is she that
well,
in Cars?
Just that in Jerry Maguire, but she did write and direct this film, too.
Yeah, no, she wrote and directed this, and she was this in this.
And she was sense. That
she was
in
that
this.
In this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her and her husband, who seem to fucking hate one another, but are constantly, like, fucking.
I think that they had, like, one of those, like, they play hard. They play rough and they play hard, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
They play rough, but they love
it. Fight hard and they play hard.
Fight hard and fuck hard. How about that?
Ooh.
Fight hard and play hard. I like that. Yeah, fight hard and play. That's what I was looking for.
I like fight hard and fuck hard more.
Yeah, that works.
That
that's
sounds
nice
a little
too.
Aggressive, I guess.
That sounds a little bit aggressive. But yeah, they seem to love each other. The husband is
Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi, thank you.
Incredibly charming in this film, has a lot of really great lines.
Yeah.
Huge asshole.
Yeah, he's fun in this.
Really likeable,
David
though.
Alan Grier from In Living Color is the friend.
Wow, Dag. They got yeah. him.
Yeah, they got Dag. And then, of course,
David Duchovny, too.
And the David Duchovny from famously Red Shoe Diaries.
Ooh. We should watch that for this.
Talk about fucking hard.
Is that a romance? Like, I guess kind of romance.
It's after the watershed.
Oh, you don't have to tell like 13-year-old Tanner watching it on his grandma's Showtime what yeah. Red Shoe Diaries was. Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it. He's really great. And wow, what a looker. Jesus Christ.
My God. Good looking.
Handsome man.
And Minnie Driver's in it. Let's say the film, should we?
Yeah. It's just the craziest premise, and it just seems made up. But Jack pitched it to me yesterday. He was like, "Hey, let's watch this."
Yeah.
And the premise is like, a man. What did it say? What did it literally say in the text message to me? Because I think it said something about primates.
Oh yeah, I sent you the rotten the synopsis, and you wrote back. Are you sure this film wasn't written by an AI?
David Duchovny goes on a date with the woman who has the heart via transplant of his dead wife.
Yeah.
And then you've given me a link and you click through and immediately learn that the dead wife was a primate biologist, and it's significant to the plot of the film.
It is significant to the plot of the film. So his wife is trying to construct, he's a handsome architect. Best cut.
He's not an art. Oh yeah, he is. He's a yeah. He's like a design. Yeah, I don't know. Was he an architect? Yeah.
Yep. Handsome architect. And
yeah. I was gonna be like, he designs buildings.
No, he's not an architect. He's someone who designs buildings.
He's a designer of buildings.
He's a handsome architect. Best kind of architect. Best kind of handsome person. And
yeah, and he's a fucking like. I think he's like a genius. Like I think he's sort of like a.
I think he's very good at architecting, and they seem like they're well off.
And they're in, they Chicago, live in Chicago. You know, it's like the. Birthplace of architecture.
Sure. Why not?
Frank Lloyd Wright is from there.
Yeah.
So.
And he promises to her at some gala that he will not rest until he builds a habitat.
Can I ask a quick question? Jack, just a,
sort of
lore building question.
Great.
Do the Washington Commanders have like a rivalry with the Chicago Bears?
Not really.
Okay. So no, I shouldn't really hit that too hard.
Yeah, I wouldn't hit that. Yeah, okay. I wouldn't hit that.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry. He promises her that he'll build an ape habitat for this ape that she loves, and then
an apiary.
An apiary. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's technically called an apiary.
Yeah. It's like an open air, like, ape park, an apiary.
Yeah, that's famously called an apiary. And guess what happens? She fucking dies so abruptly. Like, they don't even show them getting in a car. Like, she's giving a speech at the thing, and then the next, it's like smash cut. And you often use that wrong, but now it really is smash cut. They're in the hospital.
He's like exclusively use it wrong.
Covered in blood, and they're like rushing a gurney to, you know,
and her head's all smashed up.
Her head's just not there anymore.
The first 15, like 20 minutes of this movie are just devastating. It's like,
yeah, it's pretty brutal.
These people, like, right on the brink of having, like, the most beautiful life together. Like,
yeah, and they seem to
recently
really love
renewed
each other.
Like their love to one another, yeah. Going to Italy together. You know, like, finally building the apiary of their dreams.
Yeah.
And then she gets killed in a car accident, and then it's like this grueling, like, mourning process where the dog still,
and they really linger
her.
On it. He like
just
he
kill her.
Comes home from the hospital with David Alan Grier. David Alan Grier is like, I'm gonna go, and then he's like, yeah, okay, bye. And then he just crumples onto the floor with his dog in front of the door and just like weeps. Very effective. And then like we have a year of that. Like, he comes home every night and, like, sleeps in front of the door. And the dog won't leave the door because he's waiting for the wife to come home. She doesn't. I've got an idea for how we can lighten the mood after that. Because the movie itself lightens the mood.
Then it takes a real turn.
It's a fun rom-com.
Because then we're in grandpa world.
But so let's do that diegetically. We'll do that ourselves. I'm going to lighten the mood. Now we've talked about the sad part.
Grandpa world?
We'll go to the happy part. I thought I could bring in an old friend.
Oh.
You know him as Mr. Butt. Mr. Butt, come on in here.
Oh, wait. Which one was Mr. Butt?
Hey, Tanner, it's Mr. Butt. I haven't spoken to you since last time when we talked about Eyes Wide Shut.
Ah, right, Mr. Butt. Right.
Yeah.
You identify butts, celebrity butts in movies?
Yeah, I have an odd job, but it pays the bills. I'm incredibly good at saying when a butt, at what moment in any film out of all the films ever made.
Yeah.
At what moment a butt appears? And I guess Jack's brought me in. I happen to be walking by.
I got one for you this
window.
Week.
Okay, yeah, tell me.
2000's Return to Me, David Duchovny and Minnie Driver. Written, directed by Bonnie Hunt.
Ooh, that's a tough one. 31 minutes and 5 seconds. Gorilla butt. Okay,
that's
good to see you,
butt.
Tanner. It's really nice to see you. Yeah, I'll see
you.
He's
out. He's just leaving.
Hopefully see you next time. Goodbye.
Hope not.
Hey, Tanner, how was Mr. Butt? I had to go check on the kids.
Brief, as always.
Yeah. Is he still
surgical.
Amazing? Yeah.
Like SEAL Team 6.
I didn't think there were any butts in this movie. So did you talk about a different... Did you pitch him a different film? Or
you would not believe it, man. He has entered a whole other world of butts. Like, that guy's gone off the fucking deep end. He's, like, pierced the veil.
Wow. What a talent.
Yeah. What else do we have to say about this film? Should we talk about the plot? So then it's Grandpa World.
Well, okay, then it's Grandpa World.
And Grandpa World is great, because they have the best premise for a restaurant in the world. It's two old men. They're, like, they're not... They might be lovers, actually. I don't know. Did they ever... They never introduced wives.
We know that there are four old men, and we know that one of the old men is not
lovers
of
the other
of the old men.
Two of them run a restaurant together.
Yeah, two of them run a restaurant together. I think one of them is Minnie Driver's grandpa.
He's Irish.
I think they're all widowers.
His partner is Italian, so they have O'Reilly's Italian restaurant.
Yeah, fun.
So fun. Such good writing.
They're fun. They're really fun. And it kind of it reminded me of a little bit of... Moonstruck, which I think you didn't like, but sort of that vibe, just like fun Italian senior citizens just being charming with one another as the backdrop to the whole film. Like, and it's kind of the engine of the film.
We were introduced to Minnie Driver. Well, sort of introduced Minnie. We were introduced to her earlier in the film as like a corpse.
Early on, she can barely
breathe. Living corpse.
She's an invalid, and she can barely, it's hard to watch because she can barely
talk.
She's
like blue.
She needs a heart, and she's waiting for a heart transplant, but none is forthcoming.
Until this primate biologist dies in a fiery car wreck.
And then she gets the heart, and then for the rest of the film, she's...
1 year later, smash cut.
Smash cut. 1 year later, she is very self-conscious about the surgery, and she has
Otherwise,
a big scar on her chest.
Incredibly beautiful Minnie Driver, as you'd expect.
And there's a running joke that is funny, where all of the Italian old men keep trying to set her up on dates, and then when just as she is about to go out on the date, the one of the Italian old men is like, "I told him about your chest."
Hey, I got another surprise for you. Come here.
What?
He is here.
Who's he?
The guy that I was telling you about. He's at the bar waiting to meet you.
Wait, Jamal.
Don't worry about it. I told him everything. I told him that you had your chest worked on.
What? Angelo, he's gonna think I had a
why?
Whatever.
Yeah. And somehow it always makes the other one laugh, like he's aware of like the crude joke, but the one saying it is not.
Yeah.
And it happens a couple times.
Good. They're very funny.
Can I say something really
quick?
Yeah,
I'd love that.
Can I lighten the mood with something?
Always, yeah.
You know that it's my kind of aspiration to break into acting.
Sure. For the purposes of this bit, I'll say yes.
Well, I mean, I think it's given, you know, all the time I've spent on TV, and I maybe did some hosting of NFL Monday Nights.
Not a lot, honestly. If memory serves, really your primary career has been as the Redskins star, the Washington Football Team's star receiver. That's the main thing.
Actually, I'm beloved the CEO Washington and founder icon. Of a successful payment services company called Allient, Jack. Okay. So I thought I was your fucking hero. I mean, okay. Sorry. It's just sort of like, it's just like kind of a feeling more than anything.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't really want to be an actor, but I think for the sake of the premise, let's say
so that. Far, I've got to say, regretting saying yes when you ask, can I say something? So far, regretting it. But I have said it. So I guess the permission is blanket permission until you stop saying whatever it is that you asked to say. So hopefully that'll be soon.
Right at the start of the movie, David Duchovny and his primate biologist wife are at this gala together. And they're talking to an obnoxious woman whose husband is standing behind her. And clearly does not like his wife very much and talks down to her. But other than that part, I can say...
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
I could have played that fucking part. Because when the guy is introduced, the wife is talking sort of loudly, and he's just standing behind her in the background, saying like loudly enough for everyone to hear, scotch, 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 scotch.
Scotch.
We love it there. My mother's family is from Tuscany, so it's like going home.
I missed that. Why is he saying that? He wants a scotch.
He's looking for scotch. Yeah. He's hunting.
Yeah, I think he could have done that. Yeah. That's funny.
I'm just looking for my breakthrough, and I don't need fucking people like you dragging me down.
No, fair enough. That part of David Duchovny's life is, of course, kind of discarded from the film after his wife dies. He experiences world collapse, essentially. Mm-hmm. Nothing has any meaning for him. And hilariously, David Alan Grier does try to set him up with the funniest worst date of all time.
God, it was good.
It was just such a great scene. It goes on. She's this awful person who
just terrible.
David Alan Grier is a vet, and it's this woman who took her cat Squeaker. him for some, you know, procedure, and she is beautifully awful.
Oh, no, 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 no. Do you have bottled water?
Sure. Anyone else?
May I have a wineless, please?
Sure.
Do we know each other?
I think so. You been in here before?
No, I think I'd remember an Irish-Italian restaurant.
Yeah, you would.
Oh, my God. Blah, 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 blah. My water... I don't want Swiss water. I got sick on an imported Swiss water once. Do you remember that night?
Ugh, that was...
Do you remember that? It was horrible. So as long as it's not Swiss or tap water, it'll be fine. Preferably French, no bubbles. I want a cold, no ice, no glass, just the bottle and a straw. Do you want to write it down? I don't want Swiss water. I got sick on imported...
No, it was really bad.
I'm pretty sure I got it.
Okay. I'm sorry. Can I get a cup of coffee?
Sure.
I hate when they don't write it down and they come back and everything
will be
wrong.
You watch it.
Well,
it
maybe she'll get it right. I've been here before.
It's not going to happen.
It's hard to get a read on David Alan Grier's character in this movie.
Yeah, sometimes because he like really, seems super like, nice and a good
dude,
friend.
And sometimes he's like...
Yeah, but he hangs out with these like awful people.
Yeah, like introducing him to the worst people in the world.
But they go to the O'Reilly's bar, and David Duchovny interacts with Minnie Driver, who's a waitress at the bar, and the date that he is with is extremely rude to her, and that forms a connection, which is not consummated until the very end of the film, because Minnie Driver does not want to take her shirt off.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's part of it. She doesn't want to admit that she... I think that's a symptom of a larger problem, which is that she doesn't want to admit that she's had a heart transplant to David Duchovny. And then she discovers...
She discovers when she's at his house and she's about to admit it. She sees the note that she wrote... Because as a recipient of an organ, you can write an anonymous letter to the family of the donor saying how grateful you are. And she chooses to do that. It's quite sweet.
I should pen a letter to Art Monk.
And she sees her own note at his house and realizes that she has received the heart of his wife. Tanner, I was thinking we could take a quick break.
Oh, okay.
Is that all right?
I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Go long. What position do I play? Wide receiver.
You go long. Catch you on the other side would have been funny to say.
That is funny. Catch you on the other side. Edit that in.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still... pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Oh, Jack, thanks. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah.
Sorry I was a little late. I was on a quick Zoom call with my friends in the posse, Gary Clark and Ricky Sanders.
There
All
it
is. Three of us were part of a prolific wide receiver trio in 1989.
Yes, very famous. Yeah, I'm glad they're still doing well. I love the posse.
The posse, yeah. First receivers to get 1,000 yards the same season.
No, I know. Did touchdown Terry Orr join the call?
God, I wish. but you made him up.
He's not made up. He's the famous tight end for the year that they won the Super Bowl with Mark Rippon.
Cal Ripken, idiot. Jack.
Yeah.
There is a character in this movie named Sally from Cars, and she has a tip for Minnie Driver, who's going on her first date with David Duchovny. She tells her,
whatever you do, don't shave your legs.
And Minnie Driver asks why, of course.
Why?
And Sally from Cars says,
well, you know, then you definitely won't let it go too far.
Yeah, that's famous. It's a famous line from the movie. People love that.
Yeah, well... Minnie Driver says,
Megan, it's a first date.
And Sally from Car says,
yeah, well, I married a first date, Missy, and you know how it is. You're out with a guy, and
You find him attractive, and then suddenly everything they say sounds brilliant. Hairy legs are your only link to reality.
That's the line. Hairy legs are your only link to reality. Yeah, very famous.
I thought we could just generate some more tips like this, you know?
Okay.
Like, how do you sort of suppress your carnal desires when you're kind of like meeting that hunk for the first time? And David Duchovny is a hunk.
He's very hunky.
And
yeah.
So, you know what? I'll say it. So is Jim Belushi in this movie.
Jim Belushi looks great. He looks great. He takes his shirt off, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's constantly gallivanting around without his shirt on. The rhythm gets them intrigued. Did you catch that quote? It's the most romantic quote in the whole fucking movie, Jack.
What is it?
He's like, they're literally like fighting, like pushing one another around and fighting.
Yeah.
And then the kids run upstairs and they like start making out. And he says,
I'm a bad cat.
He's all muscle.
Come on, you can dance with me. Come on, Brandon, dance with me.
And she says,
our rhythm gets us in trouble, honey.
Hey.
Wow. Yeah, well, it does because they're Catholic.
Yeah, and they keep pooping out kids.
Yeah.
But I thought we could just generate some more tips.
Yeah,
for,
okay.
Like, you know, avoiding those sort of situations.
For making sure that you stay on first base.
Making sure your rhythm doesn't get you in trouble, you know?
Yeah, okay, that's great. So first tip is we'll start by not shaving our legs. I think that's going to be good. I don't do it, and
check. I already don't do it, and it's always been a lifelong sort of embarrassment of mine how unhairy my legs are.
Yeah.
So
you got
already, like,
smooth little statue legs, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you would expect because you're kind of a swarthy man, you know.
Yeah, I'm like,
but take those pants off
at the moment.
Yeah.
But like,
and you got smooth little
down,
statue
just,
legs. Yeah. Terribly embarrassing.
I mean, it was growing up.
Yeah.
It was when I was 9. It's not so much when I'm 39.
Okay.
So, what are some other tips we can generate, and how can we generate them? I guess we can go to WebMD.
I'm not sure WebMD is a portal for tips, for love advice.
It could be.
It's basically, the tip is how to keep your pants on. That's what
we're
trying
to figure
out.
You know what I think we could do?
Yeah.
Is like, you know, shake some of those like online like sex dice and just do the opposite of that.
That's a great idea. I love that. Okay, so let's do that. So folks, this is going to, normally we give out love advice, or historically we've given out love advice. This is for the opposite. This is for when you want to fucking put on the brakes. So take notes.
And it's going to, there's currently no algorithm for that. So we are going to have to do a little bit of like psychic work here.
Are you doing it? Or are you on a, you're on a, one of those online,
yes,
sex
dice? I'm on psycatgames.com/app/sex-dice.
Perfect.
It's a very limited user interface. There's two options. There's a big button that says roll dice, and there's a switch between soft and extreme. And right now, okay, we have it on soft.
Let's flip that switch. Turn it all the way up to extreme.
Oh, I thought maybe we would dip our toes in first, but you want to go, okay, right into extreme.
No, we'll start with soft.
I think soft. Starts with soft. We can always, okay, work up to extreme.
So we're going
to
generate a few tips. First tip, folks, don't shave your legs.
Don't shave your legs.
Yeah. That's
from
the
movie. Second one.
That's a freebie. Yeah. Here's a second one. Opposite of this.
Rub finger.
Okay. Don't rub your finger. Wait, whose finger?
Oh, you think it can be as literally as opposite as just don't do this.
Well, let me delve in. I mean, I guess the site's not giving you any answers. Whose finger are we rub? Is the site telling us to rub so I can know what to do, how
there
not
are
to
some,
do that?
Okay, there's some rules down here.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, there's a lot of text underneath. Whoa. Okay, here we go. What are sex dice? Sex dice is
a game.
We
know what sex dice are. It's dice you roll and then you do the thing
for
on the dice
couples,
and it's sexual.
Hey, yeah, I'm trying to answer your question, hotshot. Sex dice is a dice game for adult couples.
Yeah.
Intended to intensive the sexual atmosphere. So I think this is for someone you don't want to have sex with, or at least the way we're doing it. So this,
okay,
is someone you're highly attracted to, but you're like doing your best.
You're trying. Yeah, exactly.
Your sexual,
yes,
urges.
No, I know all that. Yes.
Well, then why'd you ask who it was for?
I did.
So rub finger.
Yeah, and it's whose finger?
Whoever you're most sexually attracted to.
Okay, don't rub their finger.
But want to suppress the sexual,
okay,
urge towards.
How about
who
this?
Is that for you?
What?
Who is that for you? Who would you not want to rub the finger of?
Gary Clark, Ricky Sanders, any of those fucking legends.
All of the guys, yeah.
Touchdown, Terry
Orr. Rice, Sterling Sharp.
Why are you immediately naming non-Washington football team receivers?
Daryl Green.
That's a cornerback. Listen, how about this?
It's just some of my friends.
So we've got, and here's a question for you for the generator. Are we, we're doing all the tips, right? So we're going out on our day, and we've already deliberately, we have kept our legs as unshaven as possible. So we've got, we're sitting on a pair of
okay,
unshaven
yeah. We're games. On a date. We're doing on a it date. All. Not me okay. And you, but like, you know, psychically, you and I are on two separate dates. And we're doing our best to not have sexual impulses.
You know what
and
I'm doing?
What?
Here's what I'm doing. I haven't shaved my legs. And you know what? I'm wearing my tightest, shortest mini jorts so that everyone I'm dating can see that I haven't shaved my legs. And you know what else? I got a pair of furry handcuffs on so I can't rub anybody's fingers.
It sounds like you've made it intensely more sexual, though. Just sort of like...
I'm just following the rules of this game.
As a result.
I'm following the rules of the game. I can't rub my own fingers. I can't rub anyone's fingers without maneuvering, okay? I got a pair of short jorts and some furry handcuffs. This is not going any further.
I flipped the switch to extreme and I rolled the dice again. And it said touch balls. Okay, so we got to find a way out of that.
Okay, so we want to do the opposite of what it's telling us.
You know those like dresses they used to wear in like the old West that had those like big hoop skirts?
Yeah.
I think if I were trying to avoid touching someone's balls on a date,
yeah.
I would sort of like maybe suggest before the date that they wear something like that. Or like, you know what we do is like go to some kind of like prairie village or whatever, you know? And it's like, let's dress up. You get in free if you dress up. It'll be fun.
So you're going to wear a hoop skirt? I've got an idea.
No, they're going to wear a hoop skirt. I'm trying to avoid touching their balls.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so they're in a hoop skirt.
My balls
and let
are
me add
strictly
to
on limits.
Let me plus that.
Yeah.
So we've asked our date to wear their nicest, fanciest hoop skirt. We've got our short mini jorts and our pink furry handcuffs. And I had planned a really nice date where we were going to go to the basketball game and then follow it up with a trip to a seedy motel. But
oh, yuck.
Guess what is very likely to happen in a basketball game?
Oh, Monstars.
Touching balls.
Take the talent of all the... What'd you say?
Touching balls.
Oh, touching balls. Oh, certainly. And you can't be exposed to that. That's far too...
So I think what we need to do is skip the basketball game and we'll go straight to the seedy motel.
That makes sense. I feel like once again, though... You sort of have ratcheted up the like sexual tension.
I'm literally just following the rules.
Shall
of
I
this...
roll the dice again?
Yeah, let's roll the dice again. Yeah.
You want soft or extreme?
But we're once you're extreme, you can't go back.
Okay.
Yeah. What do we got?
Squeeze. I'm not even sure I can say this. It says squeeze clitoris. So here we are.
You did this to us.
I didn't want to go into extreme. You said once we go extreme, we can't go back. Should I re-roll it? Oh, God, my finger slipped.
Okay, yeah, let's re-roll that one, because I don't know how to do the opposite of that.
Kiss penis.
Goodness. Goodness gracious. Is this extreme?
Here's what I propose for kissing penis.
Yeah.
Once again, you're going to have to find some kind of premise for the date. Maybe it's Halloween. Maybe you're dressed as some kind of like Cenobite, like twisted pair of twins.
Okay.
Who are sort of locked with like a big bar between the elbows so that they're constantly facing away from one another and are unable to either turn towards one another or like even invert towards one another.
Okay.
So I think that's what I would pitch. Like, I love the Hellraiser movies. Can we dress as like this cool Cenobite pair? They're from the comics. They're not in the movies.
Okay, so we've taken separate paths here. I think that makes sense. So you've got you and your date are dressed as a Cenobite. Neither of you have shaved your legs, and your date is wearing a hilarious hoop skirt.
Am I in jorts too?
You don't have to be. I think we've diverged our paths now.
I will be.
Here's what I'm doing. I'm wearing my tight mini jorts. Got my pink furry handcuffs on. Skipped the game. Went straight to the seedy motel. And then, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tie my date to the bed so they can't kiss penis.
You know what I think I'll do is, like, I'll Winnie Pooh it.
Okay.
So it's like I'm just like bottomless, so you can sort of like see those like gleaming marble sticks I got down there.
Okay, that's good.
I think honestly I can pull that off.
I'm tying my date to the bed consensually so that they can't kiss penis.
I want to clarify, you're worried about kissing their penis. And I feel like, once again, you've just sort of set up this entire situation where you're dressed provocatively in a seedy motel with someone tied to the bed, and now apparently we have to do the opposite of whatever sniffing breasts is.
Oh, is that the new one?
Yeah.
Sniff breasts? Okay. Oh, I've got it.
Can I find the new generator?
I've got it. This is perfect. And we can end here for me. You can do it yours. Yeah. Your dress is seen by Dana's is in the hoop skirt. Do you go to the basketball game or?
I'm actually more of an NFL man.
Okay.
So yeah. I think I'll go.
You're going to go to the football game. Dress is seen by Dana in the hoop skirt. You're Winnie the Poohing it.
Yeah.
I got my mini jorts on. I'm wearing my pink furry handcuffs. We skipped the game, went straight to the CD motel. I've tied my date to the bed. And you know what I absolutely cannot stand?
What?
Is the sickly sweet stench of
human breasts.
Maple syrup. So I'm going to pour maple syrup all over the human breasts of my date.
Yeah.
And then I'm not going to be wanting to sniff anywhere near that.
Licking it is another story, but sniffing certainly not.
I think we're good, and that's been a successfully deterrent date for me. And yourself, how are things going after? You guys are fucking after the football game.
I mean, we've tried to figure it out. You know, I was like, let me get a sniff of those breasts. We tried, like, spinning quickly to see if, like, maybe I could just kind of catch a whiff of it. But I think the Cenobite costume's honestly already doing the trick, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're having a great time at the NFL Halloween party where we're dressed as Cenobites and all my friends are there. John Elway.
Why can't you name NFL players from your team? Mark Rippon.
I already did. You didn't hear me. I said it was Gary Clark and Ricky Sanderson.
Okay. Yeah. Ricky Sanders. Okay, good. Well, so I hope that's helpful to folks. Just take it slow. Take it slow. Do what's comfortable for you. Do what's comfortable for your date. But if you want to take it slow, I think if you follow our top tips for keeping it in your pants, that's going to work out really well for you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
What if we cause like a population crash with this?
Yeah, it could be too effective.
Yeah. It's going to be like Snowpiercer. Jackie, I want to just quickly do, can I quickly say that there's a chance that this is a Bob the Builder lore thing, because his name is Bob and he is a builder.
His name is Bob and he's a builder in the film. David Duchovny, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it's maybe Bob the Builder lore.
Yeah, this exists in the Bob the Builder verse. I don't know much about Bob the Builder.
Because I don't think Bob the Builder has a wife.
He's
sort of a nice, he's like a plucky British builder. His best friend is a scarecrow, I think. Okay. And all of his other friends are construction equipment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
And he builds things.
He builds. What does he build?
Bridges, houses.
Yeah. I guess if your best friends are construction equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice.
They always get in some kind of mischief.
I think also, and I don't know if these things go together, that I kind of think this film exists in the City of Angels verse. But we don't see the angels.
It's got that feel.
It's got that feel, doesn't it?
It's sort of a love letter to its city, isn't it? Yeah. The same way that City of Angels is a love letter to, what was it, Seattle?
L.A., probably. That's my guess. City of Angels. I think this is a City of Angels film, and we just don't see the angels. It's got that vibe. She dies at the beginning, right? And her heart goes to someone else.
Yeah.
You could reshoot this with the angel filter on, and you definitely see his
wife throughout
kind of guiding the process because she wants him to be happy.
I think it's definitely the same creative universe, but I think we're looking at it through like the lens of like an entirely different creator. You know, it's like it's less focused on the angels. The sort of miracles we see in this movie are these sort of like vague heartbeats.
Yeah.
That maybe imply that like Minnie Driver and David Duchovny feel a connection.
They sure do.
And he's Bob the Builder. Do you want to do Burns?
Yeah, I was hoping that. Yeah, should we say it?
Bird of the week. A little English on that one.
Yeah. I have got one burn. Do you want me to say it?
Yeah.
Who is it who says this at the 10-minute, 15-second mark? It's a girl at the gala. It's a lady at the gala who's like, they're like hanging out and talking, and all of a sudden, you know, she's like his arm candy, if I may say that.
Oh, this is David Alan Greer's date.
Oh, yeah, it's David Alan Greer's date.
Yeah.
So this is David Alan Greer's date. She's one of the like kind of unpleasant women that he seems to find himself in the presence of.
I think he's like a party guy.
She's
like,
kind of, he's like, feels out of place at this like fancy gala. Yeah. You know, it's like not her scene. But she does say to David Duchovny, who I don't think likes her, and David Alan Greer, who
apparently,
I think, likes everyone. She goes,
"Oh, no, stay. I'm going to run and put on a little bit more lipstick."
And David Duchovny says,
"Is that possible?"
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good. I don't want a lipstick shame. I don't want a lipstick shame, but it was funny in the context of the film.
Yeah, gross. I don't associate with what Jack said. It was tasteless.
You said it was funny.
No, I think it's tasteless. mine is a self-burn, 9-minute, 30-second mark.
Yeah.
Sally from Cars is trying to cheer up Living Corpse Minnie Driver, who they've made up to look like she's nearly dead. She's, like, turning blue.
She looks so unhappy.
And she says, Sally from Cars says,
"You'll be able to do so many things you were never able to do. That's what you gotta concentrate on. Just think about a Grace picture riding a bike."
Oh, yeah, riding a bike.
Mm-hmm. That's what you need to think about. And traveling, painting in Europe, and dating really handsome men.
All of that stuff does come true, by the way.
Yeah.
And Minnie Driver says,
"I'm getting a new heart, not a new ass."
That's funny.
Which is a good self-burn, but also like a burn on me, because now she's like turned my male gaze back on me.
Oh, interesting.
Now I have to notice.
Yeah, that's tough. And that's a lot of self-reflection, right?
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Wow, let's just sit in
I missed
moment.
Like the last half of the movie. Actually, that's the first 10 minutes.
You had your male gaze turn back on you? Is there any way to fix that?
I hope so.
Are you taking a look at those?
It is harsh.
Alabaster gams of yours?
Honestly, they are nice. I think it's all the biking I used to do, inspired by all the biking you used to do.
Smooth as butter.
And smooth as butter. Yeah.
That's nice. That's fun. What, you know what? I liked this movie a lot in the end.
I thought it was good.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be
extremely
silly. And it doesn't like, it doesn't push that hard on the like, oh, she has the heart of his wife, so they must fall in love. It's more, there's a little bit of that, but it's more like, what a weird and kind of awkward coincidence. And they're going to have to maybe get past this.
Yeah. And then he sort of flees, actually, though.
Yeah. His he doesn't love it. Yeah.
It's
like,
I'm out of here.
So I recommend it. It's quite heartwarming. I think they're both good in it. I think they have real chemistry in it.
David Duchovny should have done more of this shit. He's really good at it.
Yeah. He's good at it. He's very handsome.
He's like dry and like, I really liked him. And I thought Bonnie Hunt did a good job of directing.
Awesome.
It was like a little like weird. And every now and then she'd like just sort of like settle on a scene of Jim Belushi for like 5 minutes.
Or the old dudes in the restaurant.
Yeah. Who are all kind of like,
what did you call it? Old man zone?
Yeah, the grandpa zone.
Grandpa zone.
Can I pitch? Are we closing up soon?
We're closing up, yeah.
Are we closing up shop?
We're closing up shop, but if you got something, say it.
I want to pitch an idea for next week to you.
Okay.
Because for some reason I got it in my head that I wanted to watch something with superheroes in it. I was like, I bet there's a superhero romance.
Okay.
And the thing that immediately sprang to mind, and tell me if this is too much of a commitment,
yeah,
is the first season of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. That's a romance, right?
I guess so. How many episodes?
Maybe it's too much. Let me look. Oh, it's 22 episodes. I want to get to a part where they're like actually like
and
romantic.
Falling in love. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I like a curveball. Sorry, Art Monk. I know that feels insensitive.
Oof.
I like a fade to the left corner.
Yeah.
I like a play action fake. I like a play action. Yeah.
That impressed you a little bit that I got play action.
I was
right?
deeply surprised.
Yeah. I just read a tweet today that was like, my toxic male trait is pretending to do a play action pass to nobody anytime I have a ball in my hands. I don't know who tweeted it. It wasn't my joke.
So tentatively, we're going to do a superhero. We're going to flesh this out, I think. So goodbye, everybody. Goodbye. We're leaving.
Goodbye. I think we're going to explore some spaces and get back to you about
we're
going to
explore
watch.
Some spaces and get back to you. I like the concept of superhero. I like the concept of a show.
Clark
falls
in love
like,
with Lois at first sight.
Yeah, I kind of like the concept of Lois and Clark. I think both actors are now semi-canceled, but you know what?
Who cares?
We're not doing a fucking show about their fucking actor lives, are we?
Yeah, no.
I think we got something there. We'll circle back.
I think we're going to have to decide on our level of commitment, but honestly, I could get all 22 episodes.
I'd like to tell folks that you've got to subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. Thanks to everybody who's been doing that lately. We really appreciate it. And we're having a lot of fun in there doing the TGIF shows. So come on in. The water's warm.
Come on in. The water's warm. Yeah, it's really fun. And yeah. We were supposed to do one right after this, and I forgot to watch the TV show.
Yeah, I forgot to watch it.
We sat down to record.
Yeah, so. It's a good one. We're doing Perfect Strangers. Balky, so funny. It's funny, folks. God, it's fun even if you don't
it's
didn't
be
watch
like a
those
fucking
shows.
Warm bath doing yeah. Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, it's fun even if you don't watch those shows. Come and join us. Join the Facebook group as well. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Rate and review our show. And guess what? This week we watched a film. The film we watched was called Return to Me, starring David Duchovny, Bonnie Hunt, David Alan Grier, and Minnie Driver. And you know what? It's good. Watch it. Have fun with it. It's fun.
Have fun with it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's memeable.
It's quite sweet.
Yeah. You'll fall in love.
It's quirky. Next week, we're watching, in Tanner's words, some kind of superhero thing.
Perhaps the first season of... Yeah. of
possibly the first season
1993's
of... 1993's Lois and Clark. We'll see. We're doing something a little different. And all that remains is for me to say that this week... I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I hope
my name is Art Monk.
Perfect. And I hope you find your... Sorry, my name is Mr. Butt.
Art Monk is not a character I'm playing, Jack. This is who I am now.
And I hope you find your surgery ever after. Sorry.
We might be childhood friends and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite you.
Beef!